Haiti is in the middle of one of its worst crises in decades. The central government has effectively collapsed, with the prime minister unable to return to the country, and gangs marauding through Port-au-Prince in an effort to thwart a new transitional government from taking power. But in some parts of Haiti, people have long forgotten what it's like to live with a functional state. NPR's Eder Peralta sends us this postcard of Haitians trying to make do.
Out in this small town in northern Haiti, just a few miles from the main road, the government never bothered to install electricity. Still, when Shermantina walks across the dirt roads with a smile on her face...
She's the mayor of this town, I guess.
She's got to be left.
She's not really the mayor, but she spent her 65 years of life right here. She remembers when she was a kid, she would swim in the rivers that have now dried up. She remembers this was fertile land.
As long as you drop the seed on the floor, it will grow.
In truth, she says, back in the day, they didn't even think about the government. They always had sufficient rain, always sufficient food. This place was full of lush rice fields. But over the past decade or so, the climate has changed and the rains have become unpredictable.
They missed the harvest for pistachio, beans, for yam. They miss all that. They can't have it anymore.
These days, she says, they are forced to eat what she calls white people food. In Haiti, rice is a staple, and about 80% of it is now imported from the United States. Matina shakes her head. The only thing they need to change that is a few wells and a few pumps from the government, and this land could be lush again.
And the government, no wells?
No.
No.
We don't have a government to do these kind of things.
So there's not even anybody to ask.
Even
if there was
a local
authority, they don't do anything.
You
see how the roads are. They said they were going to vote to do it. They did nothing. They did nothing for us.
Matina walks across a field. Planting anything here, she says, would be risky. Her neighbor, Antoine Jean Bellamy, says he just planted 1,000 plantain trees. And they're all starting to yellow because it has not yet rained.
When
he works, he realizes it's worthless.
The
difference is that you will see the youth just up and leave and go to DR to get humiliated.
The neighboring Dominican Republic, to get humiliated. Matina walks over with a couple of pictures. One is of her dressed all in white, finally completing her first communion just a few years ago. The other, she caresses gently. It shows her son smiling for a studio shot.
Oh, wow. Handsome.
Father of four child.
Wow.
In this village, there was no way to get ahead, she says. So he left for the Dominican Republic about a year ago, and that was the last time she heard from him.
And you don't have his phone number, nothing?
No.
No.
Wow. It's the story of this region. She lowers her gaze, she lowers her voice.
But I just hope that he's around.
If
he had died, I would have known.
If he was dead, she says, I would have felt it. Come on. Just along Haiti's northern coast, about an hour away, we hit a town called Wanamint. About a year ago, private citizens decided to move forward with a long-planned canal that would divert some water from a shared river with the Dominican Republic to a canal designed to irrigate vast farmlands in northern Haiti. There, we meet up with members of an environmental police force that has gone rogue to patrol the project. Minas Darius carries an assault rifle as he walks along the concrete retention walls that are still under construction.
And this is civilian project.
We're civil.
All you see here, the state didn't do, the government didn't do anything. It was just the population, the diaspora, all Haitians living all around the world that did this. If this was being done by the Haitian state, till this moment it probably would have not been done.
This project, however, has been controversial. The Dominican Republic shut down its border to protest. Haiti's de facto prime minister ordered the environmental police force out, and he fired their leader. But the BSAP, as they are known, simply ignored Prime Minister Ariel Henry, and the construction has kept moving forward.
And we will stand with the people, oui, although we are part of the legal state. Yeah, we're a legal body, a legal force. We come from the government, but we cannot abandon the people.
To Darius, this project speaks to two realities in Haiti. First, of a dysfunctional government that can't seem to provide the basics for their people. And second, how the Haitian people always find ways to survive despite their government.
Does this give you hope?
Oui, ça déjà un espoir.
Yeah, this is already some hope.
De montrer que si nous même
shows that if us the people, we put our heads together, we unite, there's a lot we can do.
And that is what we hear across this small town until we stop to talk to 28-year-old Degage Diodone Lamour.
Yeah, but I can say they cannot give me hope, but
but he doesn't want to talk about the canal. He used to be a welder in the Dominican Republic, and about a year ago, just when he had started building a life there, he was deported back to Haiti. All his tools and his clients stayed in the Dominican Republic, and ever since, he's been stuck here, far away from home.
I cannot get there because I don't have anything in my hands in terms of money.
He lowers his head to say what's really worrying him. Even if he gets home, he says, what will people say? He took a chance. He left Haiti with its failing state, with its world of problems, to strike out on his own. But now he's back with absolutely nothing to show for it. How, he asks, will he explain that to his family? Ada Peralta, NPR News, in northern Haiti.